But whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, he will be saved. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we talk about the steps to become a Christian, what we will present is the idea of hearing the Word and believing it, to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and to be baptized into Christ, and that is salvation. But the next couple, 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about the idea of obeying the gospel. But what we're going to do, we're going to take each of these steps and we're going to look at them separately about what the Bible says about being obedient to Christ. So this morning, we're going to take a look at the idea of hearing God's Word. My wife and I, one of the things that tends to create just a little bit of a problem is that both of us are having a little bit of a hearing issue. And it's probably like most couples. Many times it's selective. And what I mean by that is, sometimes we're choosing to listen and sometimes we're choosing not to listen. Like the old joke that the woman said to her husband, I think you need a hearing aid. And he replied, what do I need with a grenade? Well, sometimes the conversation goes like this. Do you remember that I told you such and such? And one of us will reply, no, you did not tell me that. Yes, I did. I told you that. No, you didn't. Well, you were standing right there when I said it. I'm sure that doesn't happen in anybody else's homes. Right, Michael? Doesn't happen at your house? Well, hearing God's Word is discussed from the beginning to the end of the Bible. And it's important that we understand what God means by hearing. So let's take a look at that this morning. And we'll begin by discussing the idea of hearing. We can fail to hear. And when we fail to hear, there's going to be some consequence. That is, God will condemn us. I'll be looking at a lot of passages this morning, and most of those will be on the board, so you can look at them on the board or turn real fast in your Bible. We're going to be looking at several. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 12 and verse 2, I want you to notice in this passage the correlation between not hearing and rebellion. The Word of God says, Son of man, you live in the midst of this rebellious house, who have eyes to see, but do not see, ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Now you get the idea from this, and this is repeated in the prophets, it's repeated by our Lord, about the idea of those who have eyes to see, ears to hear, but they do neither see or hear. Well, what does that mean? Well, what that means is that if we're capable of hearing, but we do not listen, then what does this text say? A person who has the ability to hear and does not listen, what does that mean? They're rebellious. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6 and verse 10, Isaiah says, render the hearts of this people insensitive. their ears dull and their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. This again is repeated in Scripture, especially in the New Testament. The idea that we're all very capable of listening and seeing, but when we don't listen, our ears have become dull. Our hearts are insensitive. What does that mean? We don't care. We don't care. And it's not that God cannot heal. It's not that God cannot save us. It's just that we don't care. So hearing here, the failure to hear is an eternally tragic thing. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 10, Jeremiah says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are closed and they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it." So here you see a pretty significant idea of attitude and disposition about those who refuse to listen. They just don't enjoy it. They don't delight in it. They have no appreciation for the Word of God. Now, to use another analogy, but it's the same point when Jesus talked about casting your pearl before the swine. Who are the swine? Well, the swine are those who have no appreciation for pearls. What does that mean? Don't go on trying to tell somebody the Word of God when they simply don't have any appreciation for it at all, like a hog in regards to pearls. That's the point. That's Jeremiah's point. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11. That's the one I need to turn and read. Let's read Zechariah, if you will. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Zechariah. I think it was too long for me to post it here. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 7, verse 11, beginning. Chapter 7, verse 11, beginning. The text says, "But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing." You kind of get the idea that they're so stubborn, they just put their fingers in their ears. But they just don't want to listen. Verse 12, "And they made their hearts like flint, so that they could not hear the law." In other words, their hearts became hardened. "And the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets, therefore great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. And it came about that just as He called and they would not listen, so they called and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I will scatter them with the storm wind among all the nations whom they have not known." Now I'm just pulling that as well as the rest of these passages out of their greater context. But all of them are saying the same basic message in regards to the people of God. Well, in this text, though, what is very important to notice, God speaks to us through His Word today. What is the eventual consequence when we will not listen to His Word? This text says, God will not listen to us. Now you think about that for a moment. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have to ask yourself this question. Am I old enough? Am I mature enough? Am I smart enough to listen and hear what God's got to say to me? What if I'm not listening? There will come a time when God will not listen to you. Do you know where that puts you? Same place the children of Israel were. They were lost. I've read a number of Old Testament passages here. There are many more. But I want you to notice in the New Testament this same concept. Matthew 28 and verse 26, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing but will not understand, and you will keep on seeing and not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn again, and I should heal them. So here in the New Testament, Old Testament passages on hearing are being quoted and applied to New Testament times. But I want you to notice here in this text that it says they have closed their eyes. It's not that they're incapable of seeing. They don't want to see. And they've closed their eyes. What does that say about a person that refuses to see? In Matthew 13, verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And maybe we've read this text many, many times. But have you ever stopped to consider what actually happens here? What is happening? Okay, the word of God is spoken, right? And the one that it's intended for doesn't understand it. What does that mean? He doesn't understand it. Is that he just doesn't comprehend? Maybe he's incapable. Maybe he doesn't have the intelligence. Maybe he doesn't have the IQ. Well, understand here really applies the idea that the person hears the word but does not consider it important to him. Remember last Sunday we talked about the seven statements of the Lord? One of the statements that Jesus said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You mean grown men did not know what they were doing when they killed Jesus? Well, what does that mean? They did not seriously consider the consequences of what they were doing. And there may be people here today that have heard the word and heard the word and heard the word, and you just don't understand what you are not listening to. So what's the next step? What does the text say? The devil comes and takes it out of your heart. The devil, in his ways, is able to come, and that which is in your heart, he can erase it from your mind. He distracts you. He gives you excuses. He does whatever it takes to just take the word that is planted in your heart and just to make it totally insignificant to you. Have you ever noticed people that listen to the Word of God, and sometimes the sermon or the passage, the Scripture, the Word of God, it brings tears to people's eyes? Have you noticed when that happens sometimes? And then there are other people that seemingly have no reaction to it at all. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that the one that didn't cry didn't understand it and appreciate it. But you do understand that there are different reactions to the gospel when it's taught. Who controls how it's received? You do. And it's very possible that you could hear the Word of God and you understand all the words, but it just does not in any way affect you. Well, Paul said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, that they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to the mist. Now, the ultimate of what someone may do is that they get sick of hearing the preacher talk about that. So what do they do about that? They get rid of the preacher. And they find them a preacher that preaches what they want to hear. And that still happens today. You may have someone that you work with, or someone you go to school with, or maybe even your own family member. And they're living in sin. They're doing something wrong. And you've tried to talk to them. And maybe this is what they have finally decided to say to you. I do not want to hear that anymore. I'm done. I don't want to hear no more about that. That's these people. So while we might be meek and gentle right now, in that we just smile and move on, there's going to come a time when it's going to get on your last nerve. Because that's just what happens when you continually to refuse the Word of God. Your heart becomes harder and harder and harder. And eventually, you're going to have such an angry attitude about anybody that says anything about that. And you just don't want to hear no more about it. And then that's when you know for sure that the devil has you in his back pocket. He's got you. Because you refuse to listen to God. Listening to Jesus and His words is essential to being saved. And you may be saying to yourself, well, I listen. Well, that's what we're talking about. What does hearing really mean? In Matthew 13, 23, again, the parable of the sower. The one on whom seed was sown on the good soil. Well, what kind of heart is this? This is the man who hears the word and understands it. Who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I want to suggest to you that one that hears it and understands it is the one that opens their eyes and opens their ears and wants to hear it. I've had the good fortune of having Bible studies with people that were just like sponges. You couldn't tell them enough. You couldn't give them enough of the Word because they were just soaking it up and they wanted to hear. And it was penetrating their hearts. They were hearing that they were wrong. It was upsetting to them, but they wanted to know the truth. And when you're teaching someone the Word of God, you have to be careful when you wield the sword. It's sharp, two-edged. And you can hurt people. But it's a very precise, surgical instrument that cuts to the heart and converts the soul. So when you're teaching the Word of God, a person that really allows God to operate upon their hearts is one that is willing and listens and understands, and the Word of God just cuts clear to their soul. But then there is people who doesn't want God's Word doing that. They don't want to listen to that. They don't want to hear that. Well, that's what the parable of the sower is about. The wise builder. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them. It's interesting that the connection between hearing and understanding, hearing and obeying is parallel. When your children are growing up, one of the things we struggle with as a parent, right, is we give them the teaching or a command or something they shouldn't do. And what you're hoping for is that your child will receive that and that they will do what's right. But what is always the problem? We tell them something, and then they go do the very thing we told them not to do. Or we tell them to do something, or they don't do it. And so we got to go back and we got to repeat the instructions. And we repeat the instructions. And we keep on keeping on until some point we say, wait a minute, they're not listening to what I'm saying. So therefore, we try to give them some motivation from whatever disciplinary action. We try to motivate them in some way to pay attention. That it's going to be in their best interest to listen to what their parents are saying to you. Do you know that what you're doing as a parent is you're training them to listen to God? Because the same person that grows up not paying you any attention when you tell them as a parent to do something, or they're disrespectful, they roll their eyes, they are very, very ugly to you, or they stomp off and they're mad, what do you think they're going to do when God speaks to them? So where does it all begin? It begins in the home. Rarely, rarely do you have a person, and I'm talking about children, that are so obedient and receptive to their parents, and then they are rebellious to God. That's rare. Most usually, a rebellion is in the heart, and it will demonstrate itself across the board. So what is God teaching us here? Well, if you hear God's word, then you're going to do it. You hear God's word and you don't do it, then what's the problem? You're rebellious. Now, if you're not old enough to understand, there's a difference. We got several little babies in here. They're just babies. We speak to them the awesome word of God. Do they understand that? Do they get it? Can they obey it? No. But there comes a time. Well, what is that magical age? Well, I don't know. But parents, you know. You know when your child has grown up enough and they're mature enough and they've got brains enough that when you tell them to do something or you tell them don't do something, and then you understand that they're old enough to know when you say, don't you roll those eyes at me, or when you say to them, I don't want any of that attitude coming from you anymore. When a person gets old enough to understand the teaching of those kinds of things, they are getting old enough to listen to God. And how they listen to parents is how they will listen to God. Parents, you must understand that. That's hearing. Hearing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus was talking to adults. Well, everybody just, if you want to participate here, just take your hands and reach up and grab your ears. Do y'all have ears? Y'all got any? You got them up there, right? You know, that's kind of funny. The Lord used a very simple thing. If you have ears to hear, yeah, I do. Then what's his point? Then why aren't you listening? That's his point. Which means we can have ears, but we ain't listening. We're not listening. Now here's a principle that we give about, or been given about hearing. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now, many religious folks have taken that passage and made some kind of better felt than told experience. Some Holy Spirit coming up on you, the Holy Spirit coming up on you and separate apart from the Word, talking to you or drawing you. Well, you must allow the text to define itself or to explain itself or to go ahead and read the context. But notice what it says. It says, God will draw you, the Father will draw you, And I will raise him up on the last day. In other words, you'll be saved. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets. Now notice he goes back to the prophets. God's basic fundamental concept of His word spoken, you need to listen to it, and then you need to obey it, has always been the same. It's always been the same. Well, what is that? And they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So how does a person learn? Well, he has to hear. We certainly, as parents, would not in any way be wrathful with or angry at or discipline our children if they've done something and they didn't know they'd done anything wrong. We hadn't taught them. They didn't have any teaching about this. Certainly we would have mercy on them because they didn't know. So what would we do? Well, we even though they might have done something bad, we'd have to teach them. And that would be a teaching moment. Is to instruct them about what they did wrong, even though they didn't know anything about it. I'm convinced that there are many who would come and visit us in our services that really don't have a clue about this book. Well, they may know that something about Jesus, but they don't really know what He said. Time and time again, my wife and I have had Bible studies with people that you would think would know these things, and they would say things commonly like, well, you know, I never read that in the Bible. I didn't know the Bible said that. Well, it's important that you understand, if you are going to be saved, please listen, if you are going to be saved, you have to hear the Word of God. You've got to hear it. It has to be taught to you. That premise alone is why we have the number of services we have in the church. It is our mission to teach the Word. Why? Because people got to hear it. Because you cannot be saved unless you hear the Word of God. And we just read, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It's the way it comes. So, the Word is taught. Every service here. Invitation is extended every time. There comes a time when people are old enough, mature enough, they've heard the Word of God, they need to be having some mental gymnastics going on in their hearts. The question is, am I old enough to obey what God commands me to do? Do I get this? Well, see, that's a personal decision. I can't make that for you. You have to make it for yourself. Do you understand what God's telling you to do? I really do give not only our young people, but teenagers and young adults tremendous credit. Because I'm convinced that this generation of young people, while so many times we may knock on them a little bit for this and that and the other, but we have an extremely educated, intelligent young people today. It's amazing to me, not only what they know about computers at such a young age. My grandson is in the second grade. He homeschools and he has a laptop and he does. It's amazing to me all that he does. Takes tests. He does his own thing. Just sits over there in the corner and he goes to school on his computer. When I was in second grade, they didn't have computers. But in the second grade, I barely knew how to come in and out of the classroom. I mean, kids are different today. So having said that, we could give multi examples of this. And parents, please listen to me. You want to commend, and you're so proud of your children, how smart they are in so many scholastic arenas, but you allow them to plead ignorance to God. And they're not that stupid. We are allowing rebellion. That's what God's Word teaches. Well, Jesus' sermons, their parables, His discussions, that was all form of teaching. Our children understand the miracles. Our children understand the parables. You teachers, you go back here in these classes and you teach them these great lessons. And it's amazing to me, the teachers that come back and say how excited these children are to hear these stories and to hear these lessons. And how many of our children, look at our attendance in our Bible classes, how that's going up and up and up. Kids want to go to Bible class. They're excited about it. How they run back there and they're all excited and they study God's Word. Here's the deal. We must encourage our children not only that these are not fairy tales. They are truths. They really did happen. It was historical events. And the whole point to all of these classes is for those sweet little hearts to come obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the dot that must be connected with all of our classes. Well, before we can hear the teaching of God, we must prepare ourselves to hear. The proverb says, the mind, literally the heart of the prudent, that is the discerning, acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. I really did not get a really good high school education. You know why? Because I didn't want to. I hung around a bunch of idiots that all they was interested in was playing sports and drinking beer. They weren't interested in getting an education. Now, I didn't drink the beer, but I played the sports. And I didn't get a good education. You know why? Well, the school, they met every day. They had classes. I went to them. I just didn't pay any attention. I wasted 4 years of high school. And how I graduated, I don't know. You know, when I went to college, it had an effect. What I'm saying is, not that I'm a great preacher, that all of our teachers are the greatest teachers, but all of us have the opportunity to hear the Word of God and grow. And you make the choice to sit here like a knot on a log, or to desire it and to learn it and to obey it and grow and be what God wants you to be. You make that choice. Whoever we are. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. What is the sacrifice of fools? What is the wise man? Shuts his mouth and listen. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God, for God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. And I will say this in all kindness. This is the place where God is. This is not a time to play, fool around, talk, tell jokes, and sleep. We are in the presence of God. Hear ye His words. And parents, it's amazing. We would expect our children in math class English class to pay attention and make the grade. And we come here and we allow them to not even pay attention. When we sow the wind, the prophet says, we will reap the whirlwind. This place ought to be, when we come together with our children and ourselves, this is when we are listening to God. Pay attention. It's important. Remember what James said? Quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Listen to God's word. Listen. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. Did you see that? Honest and good heart. What does hearing and good and honest heart have to do with anything? I'll tell you what it has to do with. The good and honest heart is what you decide your heart's going to be. You decide that. God doesn't. I come to worship Him, and either I give Him my adoration, His praise and glory to Him from a sincere heart, or I just come in here and just sit. It's my choice. And this great text is simply showing us that those who have a good and honest heart. So here's the deal. I want you to get this point. There are people in this world that have good and honest hearts that has never had the truth. It's our job to get them the truth. And what happens when you sow seed on a good ground? It's going to bring forth. We need to be looking for those people. But then someone says, well, here's a person that has heard the truth and heard the truth and heard the truth. What would you consider a ground that you have continually, year after year, sown seed, sown seed, sown seed, sowed seed, and nothing has ever come forth? What would you then say about the soil? It's no good. So our perception that a person has a good heart, and they've heard the word and heard the word and heard the word and has not obeyed, then here we must change our conclusion. They do not have a good and honest heart. I don't want to say that about my child. I don't want to say that about my parents. I don't want to say that about you or anybody else. But those are the facts about hearing. So the lesson today has been simply for this purpose. I think sometimes when we do the invitation and we appeal to people that the first step in becoming a Christian is to hear the gospel, I think sometimes we just take that for granted as to what that means. Well, I heard it. Then what's the problem? I want you to make sure that you do not leave this building not understanding the problem. With some people, they have never heard it. With other people, they've heard it and they've not obeyed it. Why? God says it's because you don't want to. Now that ought to make all of us think. And if you're not a Christian, you need to think seriously about that. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the devil comes and snatches it away. We talked about that a moment ago. I'm going to skip on down. Don't look all that. This last verse that I want to say to us this morning is a great text, a compliment about the brethren of Thessalonica. And I want you to remember back just a little bit about the history. You remember when Paul was preaching and he was establishing churches He went to Thessalonica. And evidently, he wasn't that impressed. Then he goes a little further west and he comes to Berea. And remember what he said about the Bereans? That they were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with great eagerness and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Well, the Bereans, certainly, far as the reception of the gospel, just blew away the Thessalonians. But there's no letters to the Bereans. There are two letters to the Thessalonians. And I want you to notice what that text says. This was several years after Paul was there. He says, "And for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." So what does that connect the dots? They weren't very noble-minded at first, and now he commends them. What happened? They made a change in their hearts themselves. Practically, a person can come to church and just not be interested. And then, for whatever reasons, you're preaching to them, you're talking to them, you're encouraging them, and for whatever reasons, this person decides they're going to start taking God's word seriously. I wish I knew the formula. I wish I knew how, what it takes to make that happen. But we have seen it a number of times in this church. People that weren't that really spiritual minded, and all of a sudden, they started being more spiritual minded. They started doing better. They started listening more. That happened to the Thessalonians. They started listening. So here is what we learn. Maybe, just maybe, you've heard all kinds of sermons, but you haven't been listening. Did you know that you can change that yourself? You can start listening. And you can start listening today. You can change all of that. And maybe you've been kind of bummed out with yourself because you've heard lesson after lesson after lesson, and you're going through all the mental gymnastics of, well, should I obey? When do I obey? Or maybe I'll wait a while. Maybe, I don't know. I just don't know what to tell you that would motivate you other than this. God Almighty, as He is on His throne in heaven, He is looking down upon you today. And He knows your heart. He knows your capability of hearing His Word. He knows that. He knows what you ought to do. And He knows when you ought to do it. You think about that. Because at some point, when you stop listening to God, your heart is going to become harder and harder, and the gospel is going to have less and less an effect. And pretty soon you can come here and sit and it won't bother you a bit. I've heard people talk about having the white knuckles during the invitation. Holding on to the seat so tight, their knuckles turn white. Because they wanted to obey, and they couldn't tell me why they didn't step out and come forward and obey the gospel. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I tell you what's keeping you from stepping out and obeying the gospel. You don't want to. Because if you really wanted to, somebody holding a gun on you would not keep you from doing right. When you read the Bible, people that love the Lord and want to go to heaven, they find a way to do it. Have you heard the Word of God today? In all good conscience, I believe I can stand before my God and say, not a soul in this auditorium am I responsible for that didn't hear the Word. You heard it. Now it's up to you what you're going to do with it. Can we help you today? Be obedient to Christ. Maybe you've been stubborn. Maybe you've been rebellious. You can obey today. You can have the hope of heaven. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
There's a great day coming, a great day coming.